We're
reading from our Passover book, the article of Labash. What is the people's shepherd is the whole people in the work. It's also in the writings of Rabash, Volume 1. Anyone who wants to ask a question, please stand up, speak clearly into the microphone, and questions can be asked on kab.tv as well. Again, what is the people's shepherd is the whole people in the work. It is written in the Zohar, and Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord." Rabbi Shimon said, "Happy are Israel that a shepherd such as Moshe walks among them. It is written, and he remembered the days of old. Moshe is his people. And he remembered the days of old is the Creator. Moshe is his people, since Moshe was tantamount to the whole of Israel. We learn from this that the people's shepherd is really the whole people. If he is rewarded, the whole of the people are righteous, and if he is not rewarded, the whole of the people are not rewarded and are punished because of him." We should understand this in the work, where we learn everything in one body, meaning that both Moshe and Israel are in the same body. We should also understand why, if he is not rewarded, meaning the people's shepherd, they are punished because of him. We learned that if the shepherd is righteous, the people are also righteous. But why should the people be punished because of him? What did they do that they are to blame for the fault of the shepherd? It is known that the Zohar calls Moshe the loyal shepherd. Baal Sulam interpreted that he was nourishing the people of Israel with faith. He said that man does not lack any power in order to be able to observe the Torah and commandments in full, but only faith. To the extent that one has faith, to that extent he can exert in the work. He says in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, item 14, "I once interpreted the saying of our sages, he whose Torah is his trade. The measure of his faith is apparent in his practice of Torah, because the letters of the word umanuto, or his trade, or his art, are the same in Hebrew, as the letters of the word umanuto, his faith. It is like a person who trusts his friend and lends him money. He may trust him with a pound, but if he asks for 2 pounds, he will refuse to lend it to him. He may also trust him with all his property without a hint of fear. This last faith is considered whole faith. And the previous forms are considered incomplete faith. Rather, it is partial faith. Thus, we see that man lacks no power, but only faith. And this is what gives man the power to work. By this we can interpret what Rabbi Shimon said, 'Happy are Israel, that a shepherd such as Moshe walks among them.' It means that the people of Israel have within them faith, which is called Moshe, the faithful shepherd. Then, since they have faith, they have the strength to engage in Torah and commandments. In other words, within every person there is faith in the Creator, which is called Moshe, the faithful shepherd. At that time, the whole people are righteous, meaning that all of man's organs, namely his thoughts and desires, which are called organs, and this is called a people. This is the meaning of what is written, 'And he remembered the days of old.' This refers to the Creator. Moshe is his people, since Moshe was tantamount or weighed against the whole of Israel. We learned from this that the people's shepherd is really the whole people. For the faith in man is the whole of the man. That is, if he has the quality of Moshe, which is called faith, then the whole people are righteous. This is why he says, if he is rewarded, the whole people are righteous. For rewarded means that his shepherd is faith, called Moshe. He says, if he is not rewarded, the whole people are not rewarded and are punished because of him. It is known that if there is a righteous person, he protects the generation. And if there is no righteous one, we can say that there is no one to save the generation. Yet, why are they punished because of him if he is not rewarded? Why is it the generation's fault? According to the rule that Baal Sulam said, all the heaviness in the work of the Creator is only due to lack of faith. Since when a person is rewarded with complete faith, he yearns to annul himself before the Creator as a candle before a torch. Naturally, all his organs, meaning his thoughts and desires, follow what faith obliges him to do. They do it. This is why he says that if he is rewarded, all the organs are righteous, since thoughts and desires of the righteous extends from faith in the Creator. Accordingly, it is obvious that if the people's shepherd is not rewarded, meaning that his faith, which should be clean, meaning complete faith, then yet he has only partial faith, as it is written, the whole people are not rewarded. This means that all his organs do things that are suitable for those without complete faith. They are punished because of him, meaning that it is not their fault that they have thoughts and desires unfit for one who has faith. That is, if their shepherd has had complete faith, the organs would listen to him and would have thoughts and desires of righteous people. This is why they suffer because of him, since he does not have complete faith. This is why such thoughts are born out of this shepherd. Therefore, when a person wants to walk the path of truth, he cannot say that he has worse qualities than others and less intellect than others, which is to say, he cannot exempt himself from the work because he has a weak character or no talent. Instead, the only difficulty in the matter is due to lack of faith. For this reason, a person should do all his work and all his actions in order to acquire faith in the Creator, for only this gives everything. For this reason, when a person learns Torah or engages in commandments, or when he prays, he should focus his thoughts on wanting reward for all his good deeds, namely that the Creator will grant him complete faith. This is as it is written in the prayer of Rabbi Elimelech, a prayer before a prayer, and do fix your faith in our hearts forever and ever, and let your faith be tied to our hearts as a stake that will not fall. This is the meaning of the people's shepherd is really the whole people. In order to achieve complete faith, they said, he who comes to be purified or to purify is aided. The reason is that since faith requires assistance from the Creator, and there is rule, there is no light without a kli, without a vessel, meaning that it is impossible to fill up a place where there is no lack, which is called a need, namely a kli, a vessel. As he said, there is no light without a kli. In order to come to feel the need for faith, a person must first imagine what benefits he can derive from faith and what he loses when he has only partial faith. Firstly, he must depict to himself the purpose of creation, meaning for what purpose the Creator created this creation. Then, he must believe in the sages who said that the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. When a person begins to examine creation with his eyes, meaning which form of good and benevolence he sees that the creatures are receiving from him, the opposite view appears to man. He sees that the whole world suffers torments, and it is hard to find one person who can say that he feels and sees how his guidance is in the form of good and benevolent. In that state, when he sees a dark world, and he wants to believe above reason that the Creator behaves with the world in private providence as good and benevolent, he remains standing on this point, and all kinds of foreign thoughts come to his mind. Then, he must overcome above reason that providence is good and benevolent. At that time, he receives a need for the Creator to give him the power of faith, so that he will have the strength to go above reason and justify providence. Then he can understand the meaning of Shechina, or divinity, in the dust. Since then he sees that where he should do something for the Creator and not for his own sake, the body promptly asks, "What is this work for you?" and does not want to give him any strength to work. This is called Shechina in the dust, meaning that what he wants to do for the sake of the Shechina tastes to him like dust, and he is powerless to overcome his thoughts and desires. At that time, a person realizes that all he lacks in order to have strength to work is that the Creator will give him the power of faith, as said above, that we must pray and do affix your faith in our hearts forever and ever. In that state, he comes to the realization that if the Creator does not help him, he cannot overcome it. Now, we can interpret what our sages said. Any person in whom there is fear of heaven, his words are heard. As it was said, in the end, all is heard, fear of God. This is difficult to understand literally. After all, there were many prophets and righteous men and great people, so why were their words not heard? But Israel remained in their state and would not listen to those who admonished them. In the literal meaning of it, there are probably many explanations for this. However, in the work where we learn the whole Torah in one body, we should interpret this verse, meaning, one who wants his body, meaning all the organs, which are the thoughts, desires, and actions, to be purely sacred, the advice for this is for the body to obey all his demands, is to obtain complete faith, which is called fear of heaven. There are many degrees in faith, as it is said in the Zohar, fear, which is the most important, is when one fears one's master, because he is great and ruling. The essence and the root of all the worlds, and everything is considered as nothing compared to him. Interpreting the words teaches us that there are three manners in the fear of the Creator, and only one of which is regarded as real fear. One, he fears the Creator and observes his commandments so that his sons may live, and he will be kept from bodily punishment or punishment to his wealth. This is a fear of punishments in this world. Two, he fears punishments of hell as well. Those two are not real fear, for he does not keep the fear because of the commandment of the Creator, but rather because of his own benefit. It follows that his own benefit is the root, and the fear is a derived branch of his own benefit. Third is the fear which is the most important, which is that he fears the Creator because he is great and rules over everything. He is great because he is the root from which all the worlds expand. It follows that the most important point about fear of heaven is to believe in the greatness of the Creator. For the greatness and importance of the Creator is the reason that compels one to observe the Torah and commandments, and not his own benefit. It is as he says there, and he will place his heart and desires in that place called fear. He will cling to fear of the Creator willingly and eagerly, as is befitting and proper with the King's commandments. When a person is rewarded with such faith, meaning that he feels in his heart the greatness of the Creator, the body and all the organs, meaning the desires, thoughts, and actions, annul before the King as a candle before a torch.
Sheila.
Question. How can we imagine the greatness of the Creator? Not quantitatively, but qualitatively. How to imagine the qualitative greatness of the Creator? More qualitative.
Rav, how do we discover, reveal the quality, the greatness of the Creator in a qualitative manner? From the contrasts within Providence, how are we impressed by the greatness of the Creator from the contradictions within Providence in respect to ourselves? Correct form.
Rav, how do I feel inside of me the greatness of the Creator? How might I feel it? How do I feel inside of me the greatness of the Creator?
Of the Creator within me.
Rav, how do I discover that the Creator is concealed in me?
That
my thoughts, my desires, everything I ascribe to myself is actually Him. And there is a gap between what I determine, that is mine, and what I need to determine as His or Him. How do I begin to feel this kind of concealment? And what do I do about it?
To always walk backwards in this.
Rav, how can we help one another? By each time yearning for the revelation of the Creator inside of us. Please.
I help the environment discover the Creator each time anew.
Rav, how do I interpret the whole Torah in the distance between me and Creator? That space between me and the Creator, how do I interpret the whole of Torah? And the relationships between me and the Creator, the distance between me and the Creator, in revelation and concealment between me and the Creator, how do I interpret the whole of Torah? Until the Creator is revealed in me and in all my bones, that's the end of correction.
Flow through me.
We are reading in the book of Passover, Shamati 59. You can also find it in Kabbalah for this, in Shamati actually. Shamati 59. Rod and serpent.
עניין מטה ונחש.
About the rod and the serpent. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, etc. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. We must understand that there are not more than 2 degrees, either Kedusha, sanctity, or Sitracha, the other side. There is no intermediary state, but the same rod itself becomes a serpent if thrown to the ground. And in order to understand that, we will proceed with the words of our sages, that he had put his Shekhinah, divinity, on trees and rocks. The trees and rocks are called things of inferior importance. And specifically in this manner, he placed his Shekhinah. This is the meaning of the question, what is that in thy hand? A hand means attainment from the words, and if a hand attains. A rod means that all of one's attainments are built on the discernments of inferior importance, which is faith above reason. This is because faith is regarded as having inferior importance and as lowness, and one appreciates the things that clothe within reason. However, if one's mind does not attain it, but resists one's mind, then one should say that the faith is of superior importance to one's mind. It follows that at that time, one lowers one's mind and says that what he understands within reason, that he resists the path of the Creator, then faith is more important than his mind, his reason. This is because all the concepts that contradict the path of the Creator are worthless concepts. Rather, they have eyes and not see, they have ears and not hear. It means that one annuls everything that one hears and sees, and this is called that is going above reason. And thus, it seems to a person as lowness and smallness. However, with the Creator, faith is not considered lowness. This is because one who has no other counsel and must take the path of faith considers faith as lowness. However, the Creator could have placed his Shekhinah, his divinity, on something other than trees and rocks. Yet he chose this way, called faith. Specifically, he must have chosen it because it is better and more successful. You find that for him, faith is not regarded as inferior importance. Quite the contrary, this path has many merits, but it appears low to the eyes of the creatures. If the rod is thrown to the ground and one wants to work with a higher discernment, meaning within reason, and they degrade the above reason, and this work seems low, one's Torah and the work immediately become serpent. This is the meaning of the primordial serpent. And this is the meaning of anyone who is proud, the Creator tells him, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. The reason is, as we have said, that he has placed his Shekhinah on trees and rocks. Hence, if one throws the discernment of the rod, the staff, to the ground and raises oneself to work with a higher attribute, this is already a serpent. And there is no middle point. It is either a serpent or Kedusha. Since all the Torah and the work that one had from the discernment of a staff, a rod, all has now entered the discernment of a serpent.
ומשום זה גם בגשמיות אין לרצון לקבל רק חיסרון.
It is known that the sitra achra has no lights. Hence, in corporeality too, the will to receive has only deficiencies, but not fulfillments of the deficiencies. And the vessel of reception remains forever in the deficit, without fulfillment, because one who has 100 wants 200, and one does not die, but with half of one's wish in one's hand. This extends from the upper roots. The root of the klipa is the vessel of reception, and they have no correction in the 6,000 years, and the restriction is placed upon them, and hence they do not have lights and abundance. This is why they entice one to draw light to their degree, and the lights that one received by being adhered with Kedusha, sanctity, since abundance shines in Kedusha, when they seduce one to draw abundance to their state, they receive that light. Thus, they have dominion over a person, meaning they give him satisfaction in the state he is in so that he will not move away from it. Hence, one cannot move forward through this dominion because one has no need for a higher degree. Since one has no need, one cannot move from one's place, even a slight movement. In that state, he is unable to discern if one is advancing in Kedusha or the other way around. This is because the Sitra Achra gives one power to work more strongly, since now one is within reason, and can therefore work not in a state of lowness. It follows that thus one would remain in the authority of the Sitra Achra. And in order for one to not remain in the authority of the Sitra Achra, the Creator had made a correction, where if one leaves the discernment of the staff, of the rod, one immediately falls into the discernment of the serpent. And one immediately falls into a state of failure and has no power to strengthen, unless one accepts the discernment of faith again, called lowness. It follows that the failures themselves cause one to take upon himself the discernment of rod, of staff, once more, which is the discernment of faith above reason. And this is the meaning of what Moses had said, "But behold, they will not believe me." It means that they will not want to take upon themselves the path of working in faith above reason. In that state, the Creator told him, "What is that in thy hand? A staff, a rod, cast it on the ground, and then it became a serpent." Meaning it means that there is no intermediary state between the staff and the serpent. It is rather to know if one is in Kedusha or in the Sitra Achra. It turns out that in any case, they do not have any choice other than to assume the discernment of faith above reason, called a rod, a staff. And this staff should be in the hand, and the rod should not be thrown. And this is the meaning of the verse, "The staff of Aaron was budded." It means that all the budding that one had in serving the Creator was based specifically on Aaron's staff. This means that he wanted to give us a sign to know if we are walking on the path of truth or not, God forbid. He gave us a sign to know only the basis of the work, meaning what basis one is working on. If one's basis is the staff, it's Kedusha. And if the basis is within reason, it is not a way to achieve Kedusha, sanctity. However, in the work itself, meaning in Torah and in prayer, there is no distinction between one who serves him and one who does not serve him. This is because it is opposite there. If the basis is within reason, meaning based on knowing and receiving, the body gives fuel for work, and one can pray and study more persistently and more enthusiastically, since it is based on within reason. However, when one takes the path of Kedusha, whose basis is bestowal and faith, one requires great preparation so that Kedusha, sanctity, will shine for him. And without the preparation, the body does not give one the strength for work. And one must always exert extensively, since man's root is reception and within reason. Hence, if one's work is based on earthliness, one can always be all right. However, if one's basis for the work is on the discernment of bestowal and above reason, one needs perpetual efforts so as not to fall into one's own root of reception and within reason. One must not be neglectful for a minute, otherwise one will fall into one's root of earthliness called dust. As it is written, "For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And that was after the sin of the tree of knowledge. And one examines, if one is advancing in kedusha, sanctity, or to the contrary, since another god is sterile and does not bear fruit, the Holy Zohar gives us that sign, that specifically on the basis of faith, called a rod, a staff, is one imparted to be fruitful and multiply in the Torah. And this is the meaning of the staff of Aaron was budded. The budding and the growing come specifically through the rod. Therefore, as one rises from one's bed daily and washes oneself to purify one's body from the filth of the body, so one should wash oneself from the filth of the klipa to examine oneself if one's discernment of staff is incomplete. This should be a perpetual examination, and if one is distracted from it, one immediately falls to the authority of the sitra acha, called self-reception. And one becomes immediately enslaved to them, as it is known that the light creates the kli. Hence, as much as one works in order to receive, to that extent, one needs only a desire to receive for oneself, and becomes remote from matters concerning bestowal. Now we can understand the words of our sages, be very, very humble. What is that fuss that it says, very, very? It is because one becomes needy of the creatures. By having been honored once, at first one receives the honor, not because he wanted to enjoy the honor, but for other reasons, such as the glory of the Torah, etc. And one is certain of this scrutiny, since one knows about himself that he has no desire for honor whatsoever. It follows that it is reasonable to think that one is permitted to receive the honor. However, it is still forbidden to receive because the light makes the vessel. Hence, after one has received the honor, one becomes needy of the honor. And one is already in its dominion, and it is hard to break free from the honor. As a result, one acquires one's own reality, and it is now hard to annul before the Creator. Since through the honor, one has become a separate entity, and in order to obtain dvekut, adhesion, one must annul one's reality completely. Hence, the very, very. Very is that it is forbidden to receive honor for oneself, and the other very is that even when one's intention is not for himself, it is still forbidden to receive.
Let's hear a few questions, if there are any. Yes.
Konstantin from Novosibirsk is asking, how come there's a state of serpent or staff or rod? Why is there no intermediate stage? There cannot be love without hate.
Correct. There's always that. We always have that. And even at the end of correction, we don't know exactly in the actual end of correction, but one opposite the other God made, and everything is weighted like that, to have balance between these two forces. Otherwise, one won't have free choice. It's a correct question. It's a good one. How this is expressed in the middle line. Continue.
Anpier from the Netherlands is asking, what is the meaning that he dwelled his divinity on trees and rocks?
That the revelation of the Creator is in the discernments which are not simple, but rather the most that are least valued, appreciated by the person. That means that he put his providence upon trees and stones.
He's writing what understands within reason that he resists the Creator, then the path is with him above the importance of his reason. It's not clear.
What's unclear?
He says what he understands in reason,
meaning he feels, he understands, what he understands, he feels, the heart understands, that within reason he has some kind of opinion, and alongside that, with that, he knows and even feels another degree, that above reason he needs to have a different opinion, a different mindset, which is more superior.
But now I don't understand how he's doing it.
Well, that's prayer and...
I don't understand. Two oppositions?
Yes, yes. It's really that way. This is always a conflict between degree and degree. The degrees are always inverted, opposite.
So how do you do it? I'm asking you.
The Creator wants you to need Him. That you will connect to Him. For you to be dependent on Him, close to Him, until you actually adhere to Him. Until you understand that you can't make a single movement, not in thought or desire, not necessarily physically, but an inner motion. You can't do any of that without Him. That's why I asked previously, how do we discover the Creator within us? That He dwells within all our thoughts and desires. Yes, so in order to direct you towards this search, He gives you problems, an inner kind of inner problems, a mess, which you don't know how to contend with. And so you need Him. You need Him, you turn to Him, you cry, you shout, you ask, you're willing for a lack of choice, and that way you discover.
This point that you're talking about is very important. The thing is, you say that he's bringing me to problems, he's bringing me to a point where I begin to need him.
Yes.
What do I do at that moment? First of all, how do I come to that point that I need him? How do I know that I need him?
That's the influence of the environment, and you persuading yourself. Why persuasion? As if persuading is not something true. I persuade, I convince, it's like as if it's not true. No.
No, it's tasteless.
Tasteless. Well, let's say it's tasteless. I don't have that word in mind exactly. I always aim myself towards there is none else besides Him. There is none else besides Him, especially regarding what? As my ego says, I will rule, my Pharaoh, my beloved Pharaoh. Then instead of Him, I want to crown the Creator, so that the Creator will rule, right? So here is my effort.
And then who can help me when I'm in such a down?
The group can help, only the group, and it must help. And it can help, and truly it all depends on them.
Let me understand. I have to tell the group that I'm... I have to reach a state where I need to say to the group that, guys, I'm in such a down state, come help me out, or they have to feel it. Alone.
Not just to say, not just to feel, you need to pay them. To pay, not with money, also with money, it can be. Whatever they need, only that they help you with this, if it's something precious. and if everything depends on them, so what do you think? Or do you want to get it for free? That's against your direction if you want to discover the Creator.
We're sitting in the tent because that's our work. I don't understand. Why do I need to pay them when we know in advance that we have our avut and we have to come to the path?
So you pay with the avut.
Okay, pay with our avut. Fine.
All right. Yes, Dudi.
How can a person check if the discernment of staff, of rod, is whole?
According to his values, as he says, what is a staff, rod, and what is a serpent? A serpent means that my will to receive is above me, and the rod means that it's below in importance. That's how I examine it. Either it's below in importance or higher in importance. Bestowal or reception, connection to the group, or being alone. You know, all of the means, in respect to all of the means. All right? Yes?
One more thing. How do we let go of the feeling of honor?
Also, the greatness of the Creator needs to shut off this greatness of oneself. Honor, respect is Pharaoh, the way it's revealed. So who will rule? Either the Creator or Pharaoh. Who decides? I decide. I have a heart and I have a point in the heart. My heart is the Creator or Moshe. No, I'm sorry. My heart is Pharaoh, and the point in the heart is Moshe or the Creator. And then, what directs me through life? The heart or the point in the heart? I need to make an effort, and I'm trying to relay this to you through Twitter every day, these days especially. To just see all these things inside. Egypt, Pharaoh, Creator, Moshe, Moses, all of these discernments. For us to make it an inner kind of understanding, an inner sensation, this is the time where we must do this, to make an effort so that, well, gradually, slowly, we need to come to a state where this world doesn't exist. That this fiction, this external image which is apparent to us, goes away, vanishes, and instead of it, I see my inner world, inner discernments, thoughts and desires, mind and heart, and I exist only in that. I'm very hopeful that somehow we will advance towards this with all of our preparations for Passover. My plan is a very serious one in regards to the whole group. Yes.
He describes a state where a person can receive the abundance from himself and then he gets stuck in his degree. And then he says that in order for a person to not remain in the authority of the Sitwa'acha, the Creator made a correction that if a person leaves the staff, if he falls to a snake and he goes on a path of failure and he can't strengthen himself except from the discernment of faith called lowness. So what is the state of failures in the ten?
In the ten failures, what he writes, none of them writes, even though you read that a person discovers, a person does this or that, still, it always means a person through the ten. The Kabbalists can tell you the word group, ten, in every single step. They mean that, they intend that, because Adam is like Adam HaRishon, the first. One who yearns to be like Adam HaRishon is called Adam, or human being. he sees himself as being within that connection. Only in that manner. So we need to go on to the next part of the lesson. I'm sorry. All right, let's wait. So, Bill.
You said that we have to decide who rules in the heart, whether it's the heart or the point in the heart. But how can you decide to let the point in the heart rule when the heart itself is, the ego is like it's like a python wrapped around your heart, smothering the point in the heart so it won't let it out.
Through the group, through the study, everything that we've learned of, we need everything, but just not to run away from it. And then each and every penny adds up to a great sum. There is no other choice, no alternative. I can't innovate for you. Just try to be in this more and more and more consistent. New York.
The path of Rod and avoiding the honors, does it mean that we need to always choose in the 10 the most insignificant work?
I don't get it. How can it be? Eli, what did you translate?
He asked if the work of avoiding honor means to choose the least honorable work in the 10, least important.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. No, why? It has nothing to do with one another. The matter of honor and his honor in the ways of the Creator. Not our respect or honor. It's how we appreciate the things towards the Creator, towards the work. It's not corporeal honor. It's spiritual honor. It's in corporeal work, a person has to lower himself in front of everybody, kiss the king's shoes, and all kinds of things. In spiritual work, we only take the attitude into account, the way we relate to it. Also, it's not that a person says he has to lower himself, to humiliate himself. It's to lower his ego and to raise the Adam in him and to be proud that he has some part of the Adam in there that it resembles the Creator, and to show it on the outside, to give the correct example to the others. And it doesn't mean that he's proud above them. That this part that resembles the Creator is the part of bestowal. Anyway, we need to work in it again and again. For now, we're